we have looked this afternoon at congregational blessing, summed up in the words of Haggai chapter 2 and verse 19, from this day will I bless you. Something happened in the history of the people of God at that stage that meant that God was able to bless them from that day forward. I want to bring the message home to our hearts individually at this point in the meeting. So I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Chronicles, please. 1 Chronicles and chapter 4 and verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. I want you to notice that. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my hope, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which you requested. Would you turn to the Ephesians letter, please? For just three quick references, we'll not read extensively, I'll simply draw attention to three verbs in this objective. Ephesians 1, please, and verse number 18. I'm breaking into Paul's prayer, you remember. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, one, what is the hope of his calling, two, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, three, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Notice the words, that ye may know. Now chapter 3, please. Again, we are breaking into the prayer. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. May be able to comprehend. Now look at chapter 6. And again, we're breaking into a passage for the purpose at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Chapter 1, that ye may know. Chapter 3, that ye may be able, that ye may be able to comprehend. Chapter 6, that ye may be able to stand. And God will bless his prayer. In light of our brother's ministry today, it would be sensible if each one of us could ask our heart, what is our reaction to conditions of weakness? When circumstances of weakness press upon us and the crisis comes, in assembly testimony, what is our response to that? I admit that in conditions of crisis, God looks for a man. Scriptures will flash to mind, Isaiah 66 and verse 2, to this man will I look, even to him that is of a contrite heart, and that trembleth at my word. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. searching look, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and seek if he can find a man that will execute judgment and stand for truth. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, God said, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap before me, make up the head. A man. Men have left their imprint upon the testimony down through the ages. But for this afternoon, I'm going to draw attention to a little known man. And yet a man that we know that left his mark. That's a man called Jabez. Just let us focus upon Jabez this afternoon under three headings. I want you to think first of the sphere of his testimony. And if you look at the position of his name in the chronology of First Chronicles, you'll discover this. That Jabez was belonging to the tribe of Judah. And you would say, wasn't that a great plus? To be associated with such a tribe. That's the sphere where his testimony lay. Your mind begins to work. And you say, associated with Judah. Of course. Yes. Immediately it strikes you. How? That's what was associated with Judah. In chapter 5 of Chronicles it says Judah prevailed above his brethren. You remember that Judah on the march had the forefront of the tribe and carried upon their banner the impress of the lion. And all that comes to mind, if you think of it, Judah, it spoke of power. Then you think, yes, Judah, wasn't Judah the first to get their possession in the land of Canaan in Joshua's day? And you think of all that possession, the choice, great, matters of God, and all that wealthy land. Why, there, it was a rich thing to belong to the tribe of Judah and enjoy all the supplies that would come from a God-given portion in the land of Judah. Then you think, oh, of course the name Judah, it means prey. And you think of all that would arise from the strength of Judah. From the supplies that would come from the land, there would be a great song. And Judah would be the foremost in praise to Jehovah. And you would say, why, Jabez, I envy you. Belonging to such a tribe, with such a place, and such a possession, such power, such place, it was a great thing to belong to the tribe of Judah. And of course, you can see how these things answer to the spiritual possessions that we have in Christ and in submission to the scripture and in association with the saints. I don't pause. I bend the picture. And that's the sphere of his testimony. But just a moment, there's a strange thing here. What is that? In the midst of such conditions, here's a boy, and you begin to feel there's something wrong. There's something strange, something surprising. Why does this boy carry such a name that speaks of grief of heart of a godly woman in the tribe of Judah? And it brings me to my second point, you see. The sphere of testimony, yes, it was a good inheritance. But what about the state of the testimony? The state of it. That's where I submit that if you put this statement into the chronology, you'll find it. It will bring you to the time of the judges. Now pause at that. Because it will send you back to your Bible to fit Jabez into the Judah victor of Judges. What's that? In Judges 1, you read like this. The Lord was with Judah. My, that's a great statement. And he drove out the inhabitants of the valley. You say, that's grand. There's something great about that. And you wish the statement has finished there. But it goes on to say something more. They were not able. I'm sorry, I misquoted. It said, the Lord was with Judah and they were able. They drove out the inhabitants of the mountain. Judges 1:18. But they were not able to drive out the inhabitants of the valley. But with whom? They had chariots of iron. They were not able. What does it mean? Doesn't it paint a picture? Doesn't it paint a picture of a people of God who've lost their power? And they're being pressed into a position that's narrow and small and confined. And up on the top of the mountain, but look down, there's the rich valleys, there's the luscious plain, there's all that God intended for his people, but look, the enemy's there. The enemy's taken it over. You can't dispossess them, they've got chariots of iron down there. Here's Judah. Up in the mountain, power gone. Not much strength. Possession lost. No supply. Would there be much song, think you, up on the mountain top? Little to give praise to the Jehovah. And the boy's war. And his mother looks round. And she calls him. Jesus. Solomon. Just to reflect the state of the testimony at that particular time. I want you to see the picture. Our brother has been painting it for us this afternoon. Older ones amongst us will look back to days when there was power. Wasn't it? When there was the rich possession of the scriptures open to our understanding. By brethren that God had raised up to lead us into the pastures of God. And there was praise. There was that which marked the people of God and they could see that God was blessing. They were rich days. They were happy days. They were holy days. But we can't live in the past. We come down to the present. To the ground. You see a people, small in number, in a possession that seems to be so circumscribed and confined and constrained. Where's the praise? When did the walls of this hall reverberate to thanksgiving when souls were saved? I remember being brought into an assembly. And when God saved as he did, I remember the reverberation of thanksgiving, the notes of gladness night after night it would rise in that little hall as God saved people in answer to prayer. My memory goes by. Now would be the time like we left. But we can't put the clock back. What are we to do? In disappointment. You can see tables going up. In these very circumstances, you can see a young man and he's faced with this condition, the state of the testimony in his day. Oh, he could have explained it. He could certainly have given you a very complete explanation and told you why it was so and why they were pressed up on the mountain tops and why they hadn't little scope. He could have explained it. He could easily have excused it. Look at the stand. Now my fault, you know. What those brethren did before, it goes back into history. He could have explained it. He could have excused it. But that's not the point. It's this. What was he going to do about it now? What was he going to do? And that's just where Jabez stands up. Because that's where the point
The point that the Holy Spirit takes up, and he puts him into the record with this statement that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren.
More honorable than the man of Judah?
Yes. Trace the expression honorable, you go back to Samuel. That's the word that's used to describe Samuel, and you can see that it speaks of a man of character. But place it into first chronicle, into the end chapters of Chronicle, you find that it's used of David, some of David's mighty men. And it says of one of them that he was more honorable than his brethren, the exact expression. And you read the account, you see it this. It marks a man of character, a man of character. A man of character and a man of courage. This is the very point the Holy Spirit takes up. Here's where a man, I judge a young man, was going to stand up from his brethren, isn't it? That he wasn't simply going to accept the condition. He was going to do something about it. But what could he do? I can see Jabez, you know, I like these pictures in my mind. I can see Jabez looking over the fence there and looking down the valley. You said, now, if we had only a few chariots. And he said, now, good idea to import a few chariots. Bring them up here and we'd be able to meet the Canaanites with their own food. Ah, you say, Jabez, now, just a minute. Those may be fitted to the valley, but they're certainly not fitted to the mountain. They don't belong to God's people, those chariots. You just leave them, Jabez, down there with the Canaanites. But you see, that wasn't what made Jabez different. He wasn't going to import a few chariots. But you see, maybe Jabez, if we had a few chariots, maybe we'd invent a new kind of chariot. Something in between. Something that was just to suit the situation, you know. And Jabez would say, now just a minute. Import a few chariots. Invent a few chariots? No. That's not how the testimony of God is to be maintained. That's not how it is to be developed. You can see Jabez allowing all these things to pass through his mind if he considers the situation and views the circumstances. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How can I fix the situation? Power God. Possession lost. The praise not rising in the hearts of God's people. What can I do? I'm only a cipher. I'm only a entity here. Can I do something? Jabez did. I'm going to ask you to consider the note. Not only the state of the testimony. Not only the state of the testimony. But I'm going to ask you to consider the secret of his testimony. How he got his name into God's book. Or we never would have heard of it. Never would have heard. He could have ignored the situation. Shut his mind to him. Say, I've got to make the best of it. He could have invented some chariot. He could have imported some chariot. But he did not do the fact. You know, what did he do? I'll tell you this. It's my conviction that he went back to the scripture. Because this little passage is redolent with scriptural references. It takes us back to Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. It echoes words that come from Jacob. You remember the man who wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and it said, he cried, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now Jacob knew it was blessing. He knew. So he betakes himself to the God of Jacob? No. To the God of Israel. The God of Israel. That's where Jacob got his name, James. To Israel. And so he betakes himself to the God of Israel. And again, there's something more. Jacob didn't stop reading in Genesis. He went into Exodus. What did he find in Exodus? It's God to his people, they are promised.
I will enlarge thy womb.
Same word.
That Jacob's echo.
So he not only turned to his God for blessing, but he held God, if I may speak reverently, to his promise. God had promised the enlargement of the goats in connection with the year, the festivals of Israel. And Jacob was prepared to hold God reverently speaking to his word. And it said this. He prayed. Brethren, don't pass by that word pray casually or carelessly. It's in what the Hebrew describes as the long tense. So what's that mean? It's the tense that indicates he began something and he continued to do it. It now became a feature of his life. Wasn't just a prayer that gripped his heart one night. But the word will demand that he devote it, dedicate it, a determination rising within him. In the very presence of God, there was something that changed his life, and he prayed to the God of Israel. He prayed. Never tried it. I know that he prayed. I hope that every one of us does. You pray privately, alone. Do you husbands pray with your wives? Do you fathers pray with your family? Do you pray with the kids collectively? Here is something that goes beyond the casual. Here is something that grips the heart. It commits a person to a purpose. He prayed to the God of Israel. Have you prayed like that? It's a dangerous thing to pray like that. The Lord Jesus taught the disciples in Matthew 10, Matthew 9, pray ye therefore the word of the heart. But the very people that he set a praying in chapter 9 are the very people he sent a preaching in chapter 10. So be careful. If you start praying, something may happen. Your way of life may be disturbed. Why did that? My way of life will be disturbed. That's what happened to Jacob. He prayed to the God of Israel. Now listen. Let's listen. You're given the privilege of overhearing the exercises of a man in the presence of God. Now I want you to listen to Jacob, because it's an education itself. He says, pray to the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Ah, you say, Jacob, he's very like me. Bless me. Physically? Business? His family? His service? Very selfish kind of prayer, isn't that? But there's one word that lifted from that whole state. He said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. He's not concerned about his physical condition. Take our prayers for physical health out of our praying, brethren. How much have we left? Take the business matters out. And take the family matters out. And is there much less concerned about the glory of God? But Jabez, you see, views the situation, recognizes that something must be done, and is looking for that blessing that is blessing indeed. It's not the physical, it's not the material, it's the spiritual enrichment that's going to enable him to be the instrument in the hand of God of recovery and revival and restoration that comes out in the prayer. It's me.
But it's me as the instrument that indeed God will use
to meet this situation. And you can see that in the prayer. And there are three requests for Paul. The first is this. Enlarge my hope. That has to do with the possession.
He's going to push back the fences. He's going to take in some of that land that has been lost. He's going to take what God has given to his people.
Now that's going to be costly.
As soon as those Canaanites see those fences being pushed back, of course they'll be on the move. There'll be a signal run round. There's trouble there. Some of those Judeans up on the hills are beginning to move. Time to mobilize. They've got the chariot out. Something's happened. Jabez, he's going to deal with the want of the people of God. He's going to bring in land that's going to produce food, and strength is going to be the answer. I would like you to link in your thinking this with Ephesians chapter 1. You might link it in this way. That has to do with our possession. That which God has given to us in blessing. And the apostle can say, that ye may know what the prospect, the hope of his calling, riches of his inheritance in the saints, the possession that God has in his people, then his power, the greatness of his power to us were who believe. No. Who believe. And Jabez was one of them. Is there a prospect, fellow saints, that grips our heart? Is there a possession that thrills our soul? In the scripture? In the spirit? In the faith? Do we recognize the power that God has available for those who put him to the test? Who believe? Now, young believer, are you ready to push the fences back? Get more of the possession? Richness of what God unfolds in the scripture? That will cost you time. That will cost you money. You'll not be able to do so much over time. That will cost you friends. But here's the secret, that you may know. The enlargement of the coat. The possession brought under her. Oh, the touch of her. The touch of soul. They would understand. Here's the secret of producing strength amongst the people of God, answering to the world. It begins with me. Enlarge my hope. Over the second day, that thine hand might be with me. That will be with his weakness. My, there will be the strength now, and the supplies now. But he needs the presence of God. He needs the power of God in the very circumstance. But thine hand must be with me. Thine hand. When did you last see the hand of God? In your life? In the family? In the assembly? In the testimony? That thine hand might be with me. Is that an expression? Is that a remarkable expression? To see the hand of God. We talk about it gently, even. But I wonder, brethren, do we know much about it? Do we know something of it in the gospel? Thy hand might be with me. You link that with Ephesians 3? Not that you may know, but that you might be able to comprehend. Comprehend, be able to grasp the divine purpose in my life, in my circumstances, in my testimony, that there might be power. Oh, brethren, don't we crave it? Don't we crave the very power of God manifest in the people of God, in the very circumstances of life, in every crisis that comes, to know we have the God with us, that we might be able to comprehend what is the length and depth, and so on. The mighty purpose of God, to find the heart thrilled with the great passion of the cross, and to know the love of Christ. See that. But there's a third note. And it's this. And he said, that thou wouldst keep me from the evil. See what the evil? That links you again with the circumstances that I have outlined. That's the book of Judges, where the evil is exposed. It was the result of this evil that God allowed his people to be subjugated and brought under the control of others. You say, what was the evil? It was a two-part evil. It was this. Baal. Baal. What does Baal speak of? Master. And what does the master mean? He was claiming an allegiance and a quality that belonged to Jehovah alone. It was a challenge to the lordship of Jehovah in day. And it was the God of Canaan. And the argument was very simple. If you live in Canaan, you better acknowledge the God of Canaan. Because he's the God of fertility. He's the God of prosperity. And of course, you've got to bring Baal in and put him on the mantelpiece. You've got to accept what's accepted in him. That's a reason. That's lordship. But the other was the female principle, Astra. And that, of course, was the affection. The two would go together to rob Jehovah of his lordship and of the love of his people. Though there are sins in this very world in which we live today, are the same principles manifest to displace Christ as Lord and to displace that love that would flood and fill and flow through the heart of the believer. And this, of course, as our brother was pointing out, the enemies in Canaan were always attacked. This is Ephesians chapter 6, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not clever enough for him. But we're never told to flee from the devil. You flee fornication. You flee idolatry. You don't flee from the devil. You resist him. You resist him. Now do you? Do you resist his inroads into the home? Do you resist his inroads into the heart? Do you allow that love of Christ to be displaced and his lordship challenged in the heart and in the home? Oh, says Jesus, keep me from the evil. Preserve me from it. I'll be engaged in a war. What? Witness? What? Need a hand of God. His possession? His presence? His power? And I like this last bit now. It says this. That I may be sorrowful as I'm in a grieving the war. A better translation is this. That I may be sorrowful no more. Now just a moment. Jabez means sorrow. Put it in. That I may be Jabez no more. What do you want? He wants to stay in Jane. He wants to stay in Jane. Isn't that what happened to Jacob? Jacob got his name in Jane. And Jabez said, oh, I want that name in Jane. I have discovered that there is a possession, that there is a power, that there is a presence that can sustain me at this time. Though I want to reflect that. I want the name change. Change of name in Scripture always speaks of a change in relationship. Every God has brought me into circumstances of late that call for reconsideration, that call what I do exercise before God. These very circumstances would bring me to face the weakness and the want, and the want that would cast me afresh from God. Oh, for an exercise. Overburden and give us that would take me into the presence of God. You know, brother, there would be changes. There would be changes in my heart. There would be changes in my home. There would be changes in the assembly. There would be changes in the testimony. And I love this last bit of the Bible. God granted it. That was your request. When's the last time you got a prayer answer? I think we failed. At times, we simply pray. We don't seem to expect it's a routine. We don't seem to look for the answer. But I'm glad to say, well, here's a man that God could trust with answered prayer. It's an interesting study in the New Testament to look at why God doesn't answer prayer. Well, here's a man with whom God could trust the answer to his prayer. I sometimes try to look at my prayers like that. Could God trust me with the answer to my prayer? I love that. But take a little word with our brother's ministry. From this day will I pray. You should explain. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. May the Lord bless.